We've already heard this morning that it's the season of Advent, and Advent is a good time to take stock of our lives. You'll see a little note about what Advent means on the inside of the bulletin, on that, like a second or third page, that inside page. Do take that away with you. It has a little diagram we'll be looking at in a few moments. But Advent is a word that means coming, and it's a good time to take stock of our lives in the light of God's coming to us. His first coming in Jesus at Christmas, we remember him coming as a baby born at Bethlehem, but also his second coming, his return in power and great glory. And in the light of that, we take stock of our lives. Are we living to please the one who has come and will come as judge of all? So Advent's a good time to take stock of our lives and to be renewed in our hope in the coming King and the coming kingdom. So just as we sit, a moment's prayer. A prayer of preparation that I've had printed in the bulletin so we can take it away and maybe use it in our daily devotions. A prayer for renewal and repentance to come again to the God who comes to us in Advent. Just a moment's quiet, then I'll pray that prayer. Almighty God, as your kingdom dawns, turn us from the darkness of sin to the light of holiness, that we may be ready to meet you in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll be coming back to this diagram. I'll explain what it means in a few moments. Some of you will love it and some of you will hate it, because that's what we're like. People learn in different ways and think in different ways. If you find it helpful, you can great. If you don't, well, that's not great, is it? No, not good, but never mind. We are no longer what we were, but we're not yet what we shall be. That's what it is to be a Christian person. No longer what we were before the Lord met us in Jesus, but not yet what we shall be when we are revealed in him. And in Advent, we remember that in Jesus, the kingdom of God has come, has dawned, has been ushered in as he comes to us on earth, but it is not yet fulfilled, completed, brought to all its fullness, when heaven and earth shall be made new at his return. That is the world in which we live. This is both the glory and the pain for Christian people. It is the glory because we're assured, as we heard in our readings from Romans 8, of a glory that is work in response to our prayers. In one sense, that would be easier because it would just be a matter of kind of resignation and accepting things how they are. If God always worked in answer to our prayers as we hoped, well, that would be all right too. I'd settle for that. The tension and the pain comes that here in this life now, we sometimes see God work in this way, and at other times, well, we keep a trusting silence as his mercy and his healing is postponed until that time when it will be revealed in all its glory. We have the first fruits, the down payment, that gift of his Spirit. It'd be much more comfortable to give up on the tension of hope, you know, that we're no longer what we were, we're not yet what we shall be, we're hoping and praying and working for the kingdom with this tension. It'd be easier just to say, oh, well, I'll give up. Temptation to go back into kind of cynicism or complacency, where we just accept how things are. A friend of mine used to say, don't expect anything. That way you won't be disappointed. That's desperately tragic. That's not what being a Christian is about. We expect, we hope, we pray. We don't give up and become cynical and say, oh, well, don't expect, that way you won't be disappointed. I don't know if any of you saw the film Goal. No, clearly not. Maybe I'm the only person in the world who saw that film, because it's about my soccer team back in England. You've seen it. Well done, Paul. But the story is not just about a soccer team. It's about hope. It's about a young boy who's gone to the United States as an illegal immigrant, and he dreams of escaping from the slums of L.A. by getting a trial with a soccer team, Newcastle United, as it happens. and his father forbids him to dream. He says, you cannot hope. Hope is for other people. It is too painful if you have hope. That's the sadness of his father. His father has given up on hope. We are called to sustain that hope, even with the pain that it brings. The other danger, one way you go into cynicism and give up, the other way is you go into triumphalism and a kind of fantasy world where you tell yourself, well, of course, everybody's always healed in answer to my prayers. Everything always works out wonderfully and well. Well, that's fine, so long as you keep your ears and eyes firmly closed and love nothing and no one. No, we can't pretend that things are always wonderful and as we want them to be, because they are not, and that's part of living in this in-between time. That things are no longer what they were, but they're not yet what they shall be. And some of that wonderful deliverance from sickness and pain and tears will await the final revelation, the final consummation, when God comes again in Christ Jesus. There's a sense of pain that runs right through the passage in Romans 8. It's a kind of stress and a pain, a frustration. And it's expressed three times when it talks about groaning. And that's the groan of kind of someone in pain or struggling. In verse 22, it talked about the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Verse 23, we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And later on in verse 26, the Spirit of God himself, he groans with words, with sighs too deep, for words that cannot express. The creation groaning, we are groaning, the Spirit groaning, a sense of just, there's a tension here and a pain about being in this world, longing for the kingdom to come. Hope is painful, and it's a hard thing to sustain. We look to the Spirit of God to sustain it. That's the first thing, that living in this in-between time, we hope, and there's a tension and a pain to that. The second thing we need to be aware of, if we're these kind of people, is the mood of our hope. Yes, hope is painful, but hope is active and expectant, urgent and restless. If you're like me, but it seems that people hope for things in different ways, and the experience is very different. If you're waiting for your tax bill, I hope that's different to waiting from a letter from your wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend. I hope it's different. Maybe you're waiting for an appointment at the dentist. You're waiting for your exam results. Waiting for a phone call from a doctor with results of a test you've just had. Different kinds of waiting. If you're waiting at the airport for your plane that gets delayed and delayed and delayed. If you've ever watched people at the airport, when the first announcement that it's delayed come out, they're kind of anxiously looking at the boards and maybe moving to the new gate. Then the second time round, they move a little less quickly. And by the third time, people pretty much have no idea what's going on. It's given up. People are sleeping and dozing. What kind of hope is here, this painful hope? What's the mood of it? What's the expectation? Well, in verse 25, it says, we hope for what we do not have. We wait for it patiently. That sounds very passive, like we're just not that bothered. We're just sitting there. We're just waiting. Well, if it comes along, that's fine, but we're not too worried. Oh, no. None of the hope in this passage is eager expectation, as it says in verse 19 and verse 22, eager expectation. That's what we're about. We're excited about what's going to come. We're longing for it. We're caught up in it. This is the image here. The image there of the... there was a chorus back in the 1970s. Those of us who were around in the 1970s, there was a chorus that included the words, and all creation waits on tiptoe just to see the sons of God come into their own. It's based on these verses. I won't sing it for you. Did you know that one, John? Hey, he looks embarrassed enough. I think he knows it. You've sung it, haven't you? Yes, the 1970s was not just a decade where fashion sense died. Some of the songs that we sang in those days, the memories come flooding back. It was a terrible song, but it was a very good song because it caught exactly the sense of the words here. All the words for hope are about standing on tiptoe. They're about craning forward so you can see. That sense of eagerly expecting and longing and hoping. This is not just a passive thing where we sit around and wait, maybe God will do something. Maybe someday, one day, whenever. No, this is let's pray, let's work, let's seek God, let's seek his kingdom, let's work for the kingdom that is his sovereign rule. Let's pray that we see more of it, more of his healing, of his bringing people to faith, of his righteousness, of his justice than we have yet. And we're not just sitting around, couldn't care less. We're on the edge of our seats, on tiptoe, waiting for this to happen. The picture there is the creation groaning as in the pains of childbirth. Now, I've mentioned I'm an expert on the pain of childbirth because I've watched both my children being born. I've said that before, and it makes me an expert. But I'm interested to note that at no time during the process of labor did my wife suggest there was no real hurry. You know, these children were going to get born pretty darn as quick as we could manage. That's the experience. A couple of years ago, I was at a friend's wedding. Delightful Christian couple who were getting married, and they've made Christ the heart of their relationship. And the groom gave a very good speech, and he admitted that he found his engagement the most frustrating time of his life. Then he complained that the wedding service had been too long, the bride had been 25 minutes late, and the speeches were excellent, but everybody else's was too long. In fact, he couldn't wait to get away and start the honeymoon. That's the kind of longing here. There's something of that intensity. We long to see God's future prayed and worked into the present. We are patiently impatient for that. That needs to be the eager expectation of our prayer and our work, our striving for holiness and a deeper obedience to the Lord. We cannot settle for how things are, the status quo. There's something of that restless hope that is to mark out Christian people as, yes, we wait for the Lord who's going to return, but that waiting is not passive. It is urgent, expectant hope. I'll try another movie on you. You may not have seen Goal. You'll understand from this that I have seen too many movies in my life. Not seen any since I've gone to Hong Kong, which is very worrying. Maybe you remember the film Babe? Babe? Yes. Now, films about talking pigs are not to everyone's taste, but it's a great film. But one of my favorite character in that film was the character of Ferdinand the Duck. You may or may not remember him, but Ferdinand the Duck has a gift that he does not like the way things are. He's a bit odd in that he tries to crow like a rooster, but I can forgive a little bit of eccentricity in such a character. He goes around the farm and he protests that the animals are just too complacent. They like the way things are. And whenever he complains, he gets a chorus from the other animals. The way things are is the way things are. The way things are is the way things are. To which he gives the glorious reply, the way things are sucks. Good for you, Ferdinand. Well done. We need to have that same thing as Christian people, a sense of frustration with the way things are. That the way things are does not have to be the way things are. We know that there is so much better on the way in God's good purposes as they are fulfilled. And we cry to God in prayer and we give of ourselves so that we can see all that we can of the future glory brought into the present moment. Hope is painful. But hope is urgent and expectant. And thirdly and lastly, a last thing to realize about being a hopeful person, a no longer but not yet person, is that the outcome of our hope is assured glory beyond all our imagining. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's incomparable. We can't begin to understand how wonderful God's ultimate purposes for this creation are going to be. We've already received the spirit of sonship, spirit of adoption. We are children of God, as verses 16 and 17 of our reading would say. But there's a form of this sonship, this adoption, that we still wait for. The Spirit's work within us now is the guarantee of the final redemption of our bodies, as verse 23 put it. We ourselves wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. There's something more to come. The redemption of our bodies. The body. St. Francis used to refer to the human body as brother ass. It's going to be splendid and glorious and fashioned after the pattern of Jesus' own resurrection body one day. No more weakness, no more humiliation, no more frustration, no more sickness, no more sin, no more death. That is our destiny. I mean, looking at this very youthful bunch of people, it's hard to imagine that left to ourselves, the old human body decays. Doesn't matter how young you are, I hate to tell you, but time and gravity always wins. You know, the general decay and fading of our body. These are my first pair of bifocal lenses, and I discovered that the print was getting smaller. There's all of this as we go through life, and yet the promise is of a renewed humanity as a renewed body. In this renewal, we find all the gifts and abilities and creativity that we struggle to express now, all those things that we say, oh, I just wish that. Oh, I wish that. I wonder how you'd finish that sentence. I wish that I'd had the chance to do that. I wish that I'd had the chance to learn to play the piano. I wish that I had the chance to maybe get married. I wish I'd had the chance to do that. Well, the Bible tells us that that renewal of creation will find all those gifts and abilities renewed and fulfilled. Hope in the Bible is very solid and practical. The renewal of heaven and earth, not just kind of vaguely sitting around on clouds with harps, as heaven has sometimes been portrayed, but a very solid and practical thing. The renewal of heaven and earth with a renewed humanity fulfilling its God-given role for the whole of creation. The picture in Romans 8 is of a creation being restored to its God-given potential. All the frustration and disappointment and decay that is so much part of this life as we live it now, gone. As a renewed humanity fulfills our role in God's creation. So the whole of creation fulfills its destiny that could happen no other way. That's why it says the whole creation is hopeful. The whole of creation is waiting with eager expectation for the revealing of God's people. That's the Advent hope, looking forward to that future renewal. Great things. Hope is as essential as oxygen. Without hope, we do not live. We may go through the motions of existence, one thing after another, but without hope, we don't really live. It's an extraordinary calling to live as a hopeful person. No longer what we were, but not yet what we shall be. We embrace the now and the not yet of God's kingdom. We pray, we long, we expect, we work, we strive as God works within us and through us. It is painful as we live between the two ages, but there is nothing that compares to it. Don't waste your life on anything less than the glorious Christian hope that is the gift to every man, woman, and child in Jesus. Just as we pray, as we sit, a moment's prayer. Father God, in this season of Advent, we remember that you come to us in Jesus. You came once, you come today through your Spirit, and you will come again in glory. Give us a living hope. where we're tempted to give up, renew and refresh our expectation of you and your loving purposes for all. So the prayer that Paul prays for us in Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.